Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics.
Hey, this is going to be a fantastic segment. I have been looking forward to this all week. We have with us the Chief Marketing Officer of Arnold Golden Gregory, and he's here to talk about the Legal Marketing Association. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Now, Legal Marketing Association, has this been around for a while?
It's been around for probably 50, 60 years.
Oh, wow. So early on, lawyers felt that there was a need to develop an association around just specifically the legal field?
There was. Marketing has been around hundreds of years, yeah. But legal marketing has only started in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So there was a court case in the 1970s that allowed law firms to start advertising. Law firms couldn't advertise before the 1970s.
Against the law?
It was against the law because they thought it would be manipulating the public to do more legal.
Oh, wow.
More suits. So as people have been marketing cars and cans and food and everything for hundreds of years.
And that was okay.
That was okay. Legal marketing hasn't started since the 1970s. So we are bringing what we call advanced marketing techniques that have been used for hundreds of years are now just starting to incorporate themselves within the 1970, starting to incorporate themselves. And that's why there is now a growth of legal marketing professionals within the industry.
Now, does that mean that firms of a certain size have a marketing staff?
That's exactly right. And we have to differentiate and understand that legal separates itself into really two sections. Most people understand the legal on the buses.
Oh, right.
One call does it all. You get in a car wreck, ambulance chasers, those things. And we understand that from public perception, lawyers have some of the worst public perception of any profession.
Right.
But those are the lawyers that you are used to seeing of advertising on buses and the, quote, ambulance chasers. What we're talking about today are the sophisticated law firms that are serving the thousands of corporations that exist out there and their legal needs when it comes to mergers and acquisitions, intellectual property, high stakes litigation, things along those lines. So
they're not found on the bus or the back of the yellow pages.
Exactly. So when we talk about a law firm of 100 attorneys, 500 attorneys, 2,000 attorneys of one of the largest law firms in the United States, you now are talking about a marketing department to support those professionals that can range from anywhere from 5 marketers to 60 marketers, 70 marketers, 100 marketers. So just as you have a marketing department in Coca-Cola and IBM, you now can have a sophisticated department of marketers that are professional marketers in a law firm.
Now, in some firms, the lawyer is responsible to generate revenue. Mm-hmm. Do you work hand in hand with lawyers that have that responsibility?
You're spot on that, and that is only lawyers can sell legal services. So we can coach, guide, position lawyers to put them in the right spot to do the right thing to enhance their ability to strengthen a relationship or close a sale. Mm-hmm. But we cannot sell legal services because we're not lawyers. Now, you can get a lawyer who wants to now be more of a sales-oriented lawyer.
And not do the practice and do the, you know, write the documents and go to court.
You have some that have said, you know what, my personality fits in selling legal services instead of sitting in the office and writing up the contracts and doing the legal
services. So they go to school to be a lawyer and they get all that education. So now they're allowed to practice. So that means they're allowed to sell now?
That's exactly right. You have to be, quote, JD. You have to have graduated from law school to be able to then sell legal services. If you misrepresent yourself as a lawyer to sell legal services, that's against the law.
So now you're not a lawyer, right?
I am not a lawyer.
Right, so you're a marketer.
I am a marketer. My job is to help smart people sell themselves.
And now is that a challenge for you personally, and I guess the people in the association, is that what you learn is the best way to help a lawyer sell themselves?
That's exactly right. But we also understand that marketing is an interesting profession. If most people think they know marketing. So you are constantly dealing with individuals that say, oh, I know what the color should be, or I know what I should say, or I know what I should do. And it's, you wouldn't tell that to your brain surgeon.
Right.
Oh, I can't.
So they're okay with their client tells them how to legal advice. That they say, well, I watch a lot of, you know.
So what we try to say is, hey, we went to school for this. It's marketing's a profession and like a lawyer.
Right.
So mm-hmm. let us add value and help you and coach you to put you in the right position. So we spend a lot of time working with attorneys in that relationship building with clients. But don't forget the basics of marketing. We also spend a lot of time of creating and managing the brand of the law firm, because that's what's changed over the years. Before, you used to have a lawyer, you liked your lawyer, you gave him your business.
Right.
Well, now,
because your relationship was with the lawyer, wasn't with the firm, per se, right?
And now what you have are a competitive nature against law firms. Understand this, there are very few industries that have been able to grow consistently, both in size and in raising their rates for hundreds of years. Lawyers have been raising their rates for hundreds of years nonstop because there was more legal work than there were lawyers. Only in the last 10 to 20 years has there been a flip. There is now less legal work that is happening and a ton of lawyers that have been minted from law schools.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates competition. And what happens in competition? You have to have differentiation.
Right.
When you need differentiation, you need marketing.
You need marketing, right.
That is what has happened. This industry has fast-tracked in the last 30 years what most industries have taken 200 to 300 years to evolve.
So now law firms are trying to brand themselves, and they're trying to have kind of an image as a brand?
Exactly. The same way as you know the cars have markets, anything from safety to speed to right. reliability. Law firms now have to find their position in the market. So when somebody has a need, they know, why would I choose this law firm over other law firms? Yes, it's a relationship-based business, but that's now only 50% of the equation. The other 50% is, do I want to associate myself and my company with that law firm and its brand? These are not new techniques. They've been in other industries
for hundreds
of
years. But it's a new challenge for the legal profession, right?
And it's interesting because it's easy to market a can, a car. You market features and functionalities that are consistent across all of them. All lawyers are different.
Right,
people are different.
A firm is just a collection of people.
That's right. And so
each person has a different personality, likes, dislikes.
So how do you find a commonality, a core across right. all of the people that work in a firm that you can say, this is our way, our unique twist of doing things, or what I can promise as a marketer that you will consistently get from our attorneys and our firm in the way we serve you and provide you right. value. That is a very difficult thing when doing professional services. And that's why we enjoy it. It's a challenge every day because relationships change, people's opinions change. Coke's job is just to make sure there's a sign everywhere so that when you think you're thirsty, there's
right,
a sign to remind you buy a Coke. Very different from a relationship-based business.
Now, in your business, what are some of the tactics that legal marketers use to just kind of – that are must-haves that everybody's doing?
So there's a cornerstone in legal marketing, as in all legal marketing departments that you would – as in all marketing departments you would have.
Like white papers?
You have writing.
Right.
You have
speaking.
Advertising. You have graphic design. You have these core things. But it's changing over the last couple of years, but aligning with all the industries. Analytics is becoming more important. Your social brand is as equally important in the legal industry as it is for any consumer products industry. So you have to have new skills in your marketing department to be able to manage your social brand. And coming with that comes then the analytics. What is the voice of the market telling you when they come to your site? And what are they looking at? Are they looking at your professionals? Are they looking at your white papers? Are they looking at your website? Most companies are doing this. But once again, we are having to adapt faster because we haven't done this in the past. So we have new skills as far as analytics. We have new skills as far as social. We also have more sales skills. More sales skills is where I was going with that. And that is We are augmenting the core marketing department now with what we call business development professionals that understand complex sales. You know, IBM and HP and these guys have been doing it for years where they're selling a $1 billion technology contract. We are law firms are now incorporating that coaching for attorneys to say, you're not selling a widget. You're not selling a contract. You're selling a complex long-term relationship if you want it to be profitable. And that requires sales skills. And those are being incorporated into the market.
So now those business development people have to be lawyers?
No. You caught me on that one in that business development in our definition is really business development coaching. So when an attorney comes to us...
it's different. It's different in his world.
It's not... And that's why we use the phrase... And I started off using the word sales, but our term is business development, and we are there to provide business development coaching for the attorney who has to take it the last mile, has to take the last foot. Yeah. We can get them there. So...
Are they coming kicking and screaming, or are they embracing this? Because I would think that, look, I'm a lawyer. I'm out there in front of the judge. I'm writing this stuff. It's very... I'm heads down here. You want me to go out there, and you want me to do this stuff, too?
You know, Lee, that is a fabulous question. I'm so glad you asked that.
Get that, though, right?
No, that's a great question, and that is, understand this. Lawyers are you... Most lawyers, there's been a personality test that if you line up 100 lawyers, 70, 80% of them have the same personality profile of both highly intelligent, most of the time introverted, and sometimes combative, but combative in a good way because that's what lawyers are supposed to do. Every time they interact with a client's adversary, you have to have that model. So now you have to turn them in, you have to help them with okay, you have to listen more than others. And so what you have is lawyers go to law school to think differently. If you've ever had a lawyer in the family, you understand they think just a little bit differently, and that's the way they almost think like detectives. You have to think differently. And so there is no class in law school that says here's business development skills, here's branding skills. There's no class, which is amazing because a lawyer has to succeed, has to switch from being a great lawyer to a great business developer, and there's no education for them in school to teach you how to do that. So they go
to the Clinton Gary School.
They work 5, 6, 10 years to be the best lawyer they possibly can. They make partner, and all of a sudden, hey, guess what? You now have to go start generating business and feeding yourself and feeding another 5 people behind you.
So is that the structure in a firm that – When you start out, you don't have really business development responsibilities, but if you want to be partner, then that's where that skill becomes necessary.
Partnership usually takes 2 tracks. One, you are unbelievably skilled in your legal area. You can make partner by being an expert in what you do. But you can also make partner by generating business. I provide value to the firm, not in the form of billable hours of doing work, but I provide value to the firm in the form of generating revenue that then keeps another dozen attorneys busy. Both of them are equally important, and they build on each other. You really don't have a good rainmaker unless you've done your time and you've proven yourself as a great lawyer. You know, it's often said in the legal industry, great work begets great work. People will sniff out.
Right.
Because
you want
lawyers.
That. Right. You want to be represented by that person.
So when we talk about legal professionals, what we're doing is we're helping a highly intelligent person who has tremendous value to offer to a client that has not basically been trained or have the natural skill set to be able to do a relationship-based selling. And a marketer comes in and serves as a coach for those individuals and says, let me tell you some of the techniques that you can use to both understand the client's business, introduce yourself, demonstrate your value, and close the deal and continue that relationship over the years, so it is both mutually beneficial. That is a skill set, and that's why legal marketing professionals are so needed within this industry. But it's also why we are a band of brothers, because we are so new. We are in an industry that is tough in selling legal services. So we come together frequently to share war stories, How are you doing this?
Best practices.
Best practices. And that's why the Legal Marketing Association plays that connectivity amongst all of us when we get together either at a city level, a regional level, or a national level. When we have our national association meeting, thousands of legal marketers will go to a national association meeting that we have because there's no class that you take in marketing school to say, I'm going into legal marketing. Nobody really graduates from school and says, I'm going to be a legal marketer. You find your way into it because it represents the characteristics that challenge us, which is new industry, great competition, they need us. So because of that, you can find a lot of people who are skilled in MBA to learn how to sell a Coke can. But you don't find them in how to do legal marketing services. So we have to have a continuing MBA for ourselves, and we do that through networking with our own colleagues.
Now, in most businesses, there's a kind of a love-hate relationship between sales and marketing. You know, sales is like, well, if marketing had better marketing programs, then I'd be able to sell more. And then the sales, and then marketing's like, well, if this, you know, I'm bringing the people in here, why can't they sell anything? You know, like, sure. Do you have that also at your in your firm or in legal marketing in general, where it's you can't sell. Like, you're not even allowed to sell. So all you can do is kind of introduce these people to people that could possibly buy their services, but ultimately they have total responsibility on pushing something over the finish line.
We have a different dynamic, so we don't have that challenge necessarily. You may have that in some law firms, but really, that then comes down to leadership, which goes to the different a topic in legal marketing, which is there. When you think of legal marketer, you think of a person doing something, but you have leaders also. You have chief marketing officers in a law firm. If they are managing appropriately, you don't have that within your team.
Mm-hmm.
That is more about leadership than it is natural structure and barriers between sales and business development. In our industry, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your backstory? Because like you said, you don't necessarily go to school to be in the legal marketing arena. Tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are now.
So my major, when I got out of college, I thought I was going to be a financial analyst, a stockbroker.
Of course, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I was a finance, exactly. I was.
You look good in a tie.
Thank you so much. I was a finance grad, and one of my first jobs was with Arthur Andersen here in Atlanta. God rest its soul. It no longer exists, but we are still a healthy alumni that meet often, and that is a professional services firm. We were selling, started off on the consulting side, then moved to marketing, and we were selling people, accounting services, tax services, consulting services. So when Arthur Andersen went away, I did the dot-com thing, did a startup technology company here in town, and realized that I really enjoyed working with smart people every day. And not every company has a level of intellect like a law firm or an accounting firm or a consulting firm. I mean, that is just, by nature, they've all have advanced degrees. There's a higher level of conversation that happens and teamwork. So it is, I missed it. And what I had at Andersen, I wanted to find it again. And law firms, I naturally gravitated to law firms because they have a need. What we were doing in the Big Four with Arthur Andersen is just starting to be adopted in the law firms. The Big Four and strategy consulting firms are probably 10 to 15 years ahead of law firms. So what law firms are doing are starting to bring in those individuals that have been doing professional services marketing into legal marketing, and that's how I kind of migrated into it. And we have some fabulous law firms here in Atlanta. It wasn't hard to ask a couple of questions and say, who's got some great lawyers here in town? Who's got great leadership? And we've got a bunch of them here in
Atlanta. So you wanted to stay here in Atlanta?
I wanted to stay here in Atlanta.
Right.
It is. That is a plug for Atlanta. Not that it needs it, but my wife and I looked at the map and said, where would we want to go? And every time we answered a question, it kind of came right back to Atlanta. So we've decided this is going to be our home. And it's a wonderful place because the legal industry, a lawyer here in Atlanta can be a dynamic, friendly, intelligent lawyer. That same lawyer in New York costs about twice as much. because of cost of living. So we talked about differentiation in the market. Atlanta has a tremendous differentiation because it has a cost advantage. Now, you don't want to compete on cost, but it is a benefit that you can get. You can get a fabulous law firm. You can get a fabulous lawyer here in Atlanta at a better value.
Mm-hmm.
And that was appealing.
So now when you're at a, tell us what a legal marketing association meeting looks like here in Atlanta. Like, is it a speaker? Is it education? Or is it schmoozing moaning over, you know, the stress and the war stories?
All the above.
Yes.
Yes. So when you take the purpose of the Legal Market Association is advance the knowledge and network of legal marketing professionals. Knowledge and network. Mm-hmm. They both... that means we place a high premium on getting together once a month with a speaker that aligns with a topic that is of interest to us. And sometimes those speakers are a panel of our own peers, and sometimes they're outside speakers. For example, the Atlanta City Group last week had an executive from Google talking about how they're shaping their platform. They're advancing their platform to be more friendly to professional services firms.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. That's a great speaker. We've had speakers on leadership. We've had speakers on diversity. We've had speakers on creative writing. So our job is to hear the needs of our network, of our association, our members, and how can we help them. And various law firms in general, because it's new, don't have large marketing budgets. And that means they also don't spend large amounts of money to train their professionals. So we feel a need of bringing those seasoned sources of knowledge, speakers, thought leadership experts to come in and speak to our folks. Because it's also a very young market.
Right.
As you can imagine.
Right. The legal profession has been around forever, but the marketing aspect of it is.
That's right.
Is
but the marketing
new.
Department skews itself to an age that's somewhere in between the mid 20s.
Right.
So you have a lot of very hungry, aggressive, eager marketers that are looking for more knowledge to help themselves be better. And you can't go buy a book for that. And there's no class. So that's where we fill that void.
So now, how do you manage that? Like you said, this is a young profession, but the people in law firms tend to be older. Is there, like, can you talk about how you help the lawyer understand the importance of posting on LinkedIn or, you know, Facebook or whatever the proper channel is for your firm?
Sure.
Because that's probably not intuitive for them, I would think.
For most. And that's only because they're a product of their raising.
Right. They grew up in a world where the market, a lot of them, not a lot, but some of them didn't have to market, that I'm this guy and that, look, people can know who I am and they come to me. I don't have to do any of that nonsense.
You're absolutely right, because there are many successful lawyers who make a very good living and they've never had to market. And
right.
They will turn and tell you to your face, I've been fine without you, little guy. And
right.
It's like...
But they don't see the value of doing it in order to help the firm as a whole and help the younger people?
They do. And that's where the skills of a legal marketer in the professional services industry, legal industry, we have. When I say we're coaches, we're influencers, we have to gradually approach them as they would approach their business, which is lawyers back and forth. I say something, you counter that with something else. We have to bring them facts. And that's where we go. Yes, we have the analytics on the website. We did a training the other day that was able to show them the third highest referral source to our website is LinkedIn. And the third highest exit point out of our website is LinkedIn. So people are checking your bio with your LinkedIn profile to double check to make sure what you said is appropriate. So now when putting it like that, any lawyer will rationally say, I got it, Clinton. I got what you say. Now it's our job in the legal marketing department to say, now let me help you set it up appropriately. It's not there to say, okay, I've enlightened you, go do it. It wouldn't get done. We're there to then help them set that up. Or for example, when we talk about a proposal situation, lawyers 10 years ago, 20 years ago, didn't have to create proposals. Proposals now in the legal industry are as complex as IBM trying to sell mainframes into a large Fortune 100 company. RFPs that we get, requests for proposals from a Fortune 1000 company, now can come in with 100 questions that they're asking us, that they put us in a box and say, you have 100 words to be able to answer this question. You can't write 3 pages and try to make yourself look fantastic. So they see that, and then they turn to us and say,
here, do this for me.
Yeah, it's funny. Some of them will say, you're absolutely right. Some of them will say, do this for me. And others will say, how have you done this in the past? Right. Now that it's my proposal, and if I win this, it benefits
me. Right.
Help me. How do we structure this?
So it is a true partnership. It's evolving into a true partnership.
It is a wonderful partnership. And I go back to saying, I love helping smart people market themselves, mm-hmm. because they have really good, thought-provoking conversations, and marketers have to be on their game to be able to convert them and tell them what we do is not, it's kind of gut reaction. No, we have advanced techniques to be able to help them.
Now, what about the just the fact that it's kind of the Wild West, a lot of the social media? You know, if you have 100 lawyers or 500 lawyers and they're all blogging and they're all, you know, on Twitter or wherever they are, LinkedIn, and they're all saying stuff, how do you keep them on point and on message? Because, you know, you never know what's going to strike a chord and it'll cause some, you know, maybe things you didn't count on.
One of the challenges we face as marketers, and we are jazzed, we're excited about social media, obviously.
Right.
It's something it's great. Lawyers are risk averse.
Right, exactly.
They don't want to go out and do that because, quite frankly, we're coaching clients on helping them manage their risk in their social media. So we see what happens when reputations are damaged.
Right, it takes one guy.
Yeah. Right. So what's happening is lawyers tend to pull back and they don't want to do it.
Right.
But for a logical reason. They're like, man, why would I want to be out there? Help me in other ways, Clinton, but please don't tell me to go out and start blogging and do texting. That's kind of what it is. And what we do is we pick only certain people and we pick only certain channels. Like, for example, our firm, we did not take the approach of, hey, let's everybody light up a blog. We said, let's do 3 of them great, mm-hmm. and let us coach you and manage that flow of information.
And you're the curator?
Exactly. And so would that be our recommendation that we'd love? No, man, I'd like to light up 2 or 3 dozen blogs. But that's that mutual relationship of saying, I understand you're risk averse and you like a controlled environment.
Right.
Okay, let's meet in the middle. Let's do some blogs and allow marketing to be the curator in the funnel so we can create a great blog, we limit your risk, and we add value.
Right.
So
and you're participating in these social media channels.
Exactly.
And you got to feed that beast. You know, those things are very hungry.
So on any daily basis, we are working from social media. We do lots of events in legal marketing because that's FaceTime.
FaceTime is the most important thing?
FaceTime is the most important thing in legal marketing. You know, our job, what we like to say at my firm, our mission that our team knows is to create meaningful FaceTime. Full stop. That's the sentence. That's the sentence that we wake up every day and say, are we creating meaningful FaceTime for our attorneys to now allow their skill set to shine, put them in the position to be able to talk to people that need their services? And most of that comes from events, getting out of the office. Classic example is helping clients understand the consequences or ramifications of the new Affordable Health Care Act.
Right.
Send out an invitation to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people. Get 200 people who RSVP, and now you rent out a space so that way our attorneys can
be smart in front of them.
Be smart in front of them, present them, and then have the rest of the attorneys within the firm, a group of those attorneys in the room to say, can we answer any other further questions? Is there anything we can do for you? That's the best thing that can happen, is because if they were all social, they would be fighting with one hand tied behind their back, because their greatest strength is their personality and their intellect. So my job, our job, legal marketing's job, is at the end of the day, get a lawyer in front of a client. Not to sell them. the client needs our services. You know, right. The old good sales thing is the client needs our services. We have to convince them that we're the ones that can provide.
Right, because they're going to buy it from somebody.
They're going to buy it from somebody.
So now, when you're creating these events, are you creating the opportunity to your existing clients, or this is out to the public?
Half and half. Sometimes
yeah, that makes sense because you want to nurture those ongoing relationships because there's more ways to serve those folks.
That's exactly right. And then a marketer would say, hey, let's go do a joint sponsorship with the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce. So our invitation is sent through their email list to their constituents, and mm-hmm. Atlanta Chamber looks good because they're offering value to their members of right. what we have to say. So we do a lot of relationship building with other organizations, associations, chambers of commerce, those things where they are channels for us to deliver a message that their clients need to hear about.
And that goes back to your original premise about the brand and stuff like that. So you have to choose which of these associations align with our brand and our philosophy, and those are the ones that we kind of go all in with.
Lee, you're a former marketer. I got to tell my background, but I didn't hear your background. But you're absolutely right, and that is you – The ultimate challenge in marketing is trying to be everything to everyone. And most people who need to sell something for their livelihood say, I don't want to limit myself. My business could come from anywhere.
Right.
But a marketer says, there's not enough money that I could print to be able to market every single company in the United States who right. technically could be your client. So let's focus it down, and that's where, just as you say, pick certain industries in which you can become experts in, and you can become a law firm that is seen as, that's the law firm in our industry that we go to because they know our industry better than anybody else. They understand our business. But there's, what, 500, 600, 700 industries? Get it down to a dozen, and now the marketers can start
right, cooking. And you go deep in a dozen rather exactly. than superficial in 200.
Exactly. And we tell our lawyers who say are in healthcare, hey, now pick the three associations in healthcare. Maybe it's the hospital association. Maybe it's the long-term care association. Maybe it's the physicians association. Mm-hmm. Which one is the one now that you're in healthcare? Get a little bit more micro and now go be there.
And that way you can kind of make it granular to the individual attorney.
Right. And now when you went back to the white paper, which was the great phrase, imagine a white paper where you say, healthcare trends within the United States. Okay, that's relevant to like a kabillion people in the right. United States. But if you were to say the regulatory issues for long-term care facilities in the United States in 2015, now you're micro. Now you are putting our intellect directly aligned with a industry with a person that can easily say, that's about me. I'm going to read that because I'm in long-term care. It makes it very relevant. So the relationship-based business, before you shake hands, has the step right before that, which is, are you in my circle? Are you in my tribe? If I'm in long-term care, are you in long-term care? Do you understand the phrases I use? The
right.
things that.
Right, but when they see you at the association meeting every month, then they know you're in the
then
tribe.
Then they know. And that's where marketers, going back to your question, that's when marketers are able to provide those techniques to attorneys who see themselves as either I'm a litigator or I'm a corporate lawyer. And we say, okay, Let's focus in a little bit. Where can we drive in to help you be successful?
Right. Where's your passion? Where do you align with?
Where's your passion? The alignment, you're absolutely right. Where's your alignment of both passion, your network,
your
and your expertise?
Right.
That center circle is where.
So do you help them at that level? You have a conversation and you go, okay, what are you interested in? What do you like the best? Where's your expertise gravitating to? And then you help them align to their specialty?
That's exactly right. Because they know who they are. They're either litigators, corporate people, right. things, specialty. But then we have the typical process is you have an annual conversation with an attorney.
So marketing has an annual conversation?
With every attorney.
Really?
Most law firms. Not every law firm can do it. It depends upon how you're staffed. But in the perfect world, the marketer or person in the marketing department sits down with the attorney and says, do we need to identify your focus to increase your chances of being successful in the market? Mm-hmm. If they already, and then we'll We ask questions. They're smart folks. We ask the right 10 questions. The answers will identify themselves.
Right. And that's important, that self-discovery for them to figure out, right? That helps you get buy-in.
For a legal marketer dealing with really smart people, that's exactly right. We can't come in and say, hey, man.
Hey, I looked at your numbers. I see who you know. I went to your LinkedIn. You should move over. Forget about healthcare. You're better here in manufacturing.
That's right. Next attorney. No, we don't do that. But then you say, okay, if you know your focus already, then it becomes the annual conversation of objectives within your focus.
Right.
So you know the step. First you identify where you're going, then it's like, okay, what are the things you're going to do to be successful in that focus? That's those annual conversations that attorneys gain the most value from mm-hmm. us. Because if you don't do those right, then the proposal, the events, and everything else are a little off whack. They're out of alignment.
Right.
So many attorneys will embrace that conversation if handled in a very mutually respectful way that marketers aren't coming in saying, I know exactly what you need to do. It's like, it's saying, hey, I'm here to help.
Right. You're their partner to help them be more successful. It's not, you're not like telling them what to do. You're trying to help them.
So legal marketing professionals are a unique breed, which is why
you're part psychology. You need a psychology degree, right?
you are not kidding on that one. So that's why we're a unique breed. And that's why we like coming together often, because we have a high emotional consistency we have to maintain while at work.
Right.
And so when we come together, it's like, man, how did you do today? It's like, everything okay? Swap some war stories, get together, have a few drinks. And it's wonderful, because I think the knowledge sharing between legal marketing professionals moves at a faster pace than marketing professionals in other industries, because
It's playing a little catch up.
And it's a little tougher. There's a little bit more of a boxing match. But I say that in a friendly way, because I love my attorneys. I love my firm. And so it is not one of those antagonistic relationships. No, but it's I imagine what my sister, who's an amazing high school teacher, does. She says at the end of the day, she's exhausted. And that's kind of
mentally exhausted.
That's kind of what legal marketing is. At the end of the day, you sit back and say, man, another great day. I'm exhausted. So but it's a wonderful industry to be a part of. And we've got,
how many legal marketing people are there in town here in Atlanta?
We have something about 200 or 300 members within the Legal Marketing Association.
But that's multiple members within a firm?
That can be multiple members within a firm. That's exactly right. But within Atlanta, you could easily say that there's probably 500 to 700 legal marketers. It's a great question. I haven't thought of it in that, but you could be anywhere from 5 to 1,000 if you count the single marketers. There's a lot of law firms. There's the biggest 20 in the city that most people know. But when you get below the biggest 20, you got dozens and dozens of.
It could be one of the people from the 20 that have just gone off on their own, and all of a sudden they have a 3 or 4 person firm, and they got a marketer.
And they have a single marketer who sits back and says, who do I talk to bond with? Who do I talk to?
Right.
And those are the ones that come walking in and say, man, how are you guys doing this?
Right.
And so the really small firms talk a little bit more to the smaller firms, smaller talk to medium and large, and we all learn how we're doing things up the scale.
But you all have similar challenges.
We have similar challenges. That's exactly right.
All right. So there's the Atlanta City Group. Tell me more about the Southeastern chapter, because you're on the board. You're like
the board of the Southeastern chapter. First, I have to give a nod to the board. It's a fantastic board. It's led by our president Jill Hughes, as well as our chair Jill Hughes and our chair elect Brooke Redmond, who will come in next year. There's a board of about 8 or 9 of us that are there, and our job is to facilitate that knowledge building and networking for across the Southeast. We meet on a monthly basis.
So you meet monthly there too?
We meet monthly,
but
by
that's
phone,
virtual,
virtual, because we're spread out across the region, and we're stewards. That's all we are stewards, and we're stewards, and we constantly say, what have we heard from our constituents on what they need? And that constant voice of the member, I would call it, guides us to what we're going to do in the coming months, as far as maybe we can go out and find a speaker at a regional or national level and offer a better value proposition to that speaker to come down. Instead of speaking at one city, maybe they do a roadshow.
Like a tour, right?
They do a tour. So if we can broker those things, it really helps. We also put on the Southeastern Region conference. So there's a national conference, which of course costs a little bit of money, and sometimes it's right. It's usually on one of the coasts.
Sure.
So sometimes people don't have money to get to the other coast.
And that's just pure education and networking?
Pure education networking. And so we do a regional one for those folks that maybe are a little tighter on the budget or maybe want to network a little bit more with the folks that are
right,
in their backyard.
The region, right,
the region. So we put on that one, and that's actually in a month, which will be held in Nashville, and it's fabulous speakers.
And that rotates to the different cities in the Southeast?
Rotates to the different cities. And then you have so we put on that, and my responsibility is my title is director of city groups, and so my job is to listen to the boards, the leaders of the 12 city groups across the Southeast, and try to be their voice into the board meetings mm-hmm. when we are talking about things about speakers or events or networking opportunities.
So you can see what they need and want,
But also understand we also understand that, you know, people who break bread together have tighter relationships. People who do things together have tighter relationships. So we promote a lot of this thing called LMA Cares. And that is each city going to do something to benefit the community?
Mm-hmm.
And our choice in this case of sponsorships is the Ronald McDonald House.
Mm-hmm.
And so we encourage... This is a volunteer army here in the association. So
it's voluntold.
so we say for each city, hey, use the Ronald McDonald House as an opportunity to give back, but also a way for team building for your folks to come together and do.
So that's
good.
That's
the Southeastern
choice of a charity is the Ronald McDonald.
That's
House.
Right, the Ronald
and
McDonald.
And then
House.
So like in the Northeast, they might have a different one.
Might have a different one. Now we are as you can imagine, given the geographic spread of the Southeast region, there are some regions like the Northeast and the West Coast, the Midwest, that may have more members than us, but we have more city groups.
Mm-hmm.
We have 12 city groups that stretch from New Orleans to the Triad, Raleigh, all the way down to Miami.
Oh, wow.
And we have ones in Columbus and Charlotte and Nashville and Orlando and Tampa. All of these are legal marketers that come together for a breakfast and a lunch and say, how you doing? How'd you do this? The beautiful thing is it's an interesting industry in that there's a lot of pick up the phone, call somebody that I met at the recent lunch or call somebody I met at the national thing and say, how'd you do this? And it is priceless. There's not a border. There's not a barrier between us when it comes to the competitive of like, hey, you're in my city. I'm not going to tell you anything that I'm doing. It's a very collaborative because we're all in this together. When one law firm doesn't do well, then it's interesting. Legal marketers seem to be bucketed as legal marketers in the legal industry. And so the reputation of legal marketers, as it rises, all boats rise.
Sure.
And so it really benefits us to help each other out from that standpoint because lawyers talk, legal marketers need to talk. And when the lawyer says, hey, man, my marketing department, we don't want them to say, hey, my marketing department is not as good as yours. What am mm-hmm. I going to do? We want them to say, wow, I've got great legal marketing professionals across the board in all law firms.
So now... in your group, you have a meeting every month, you said, is that right?
We have a meeting every month and we get together.
But this is, in October, is a bigger? This is
October
in
Nashville is the bigger conference.
Okay, so that's a bigger conference that's separate from the meeting.
That's a bigger conference. Now in November, we do the changing of the guard. So there will be new chairs, both on the board, Southeastern Region Board, and at the city level.
Mm-hmm.
And some people stay. You could do multiple years in a leadership role. And by leadership, there's not just the chair. As I mentioned, the Southeast region is a board of 8 or 9 folks. Each city can have a board of anywhere from 3 to 5 individuals. This is important. The reason why I bring that up is we legal marketers to obtain that position don't see it as a burden. Oh, now I'm the volunteer person who just has right. 4 times more work put on me. It's tremendous benefits, like this radio show. If I wasn't participating in LMA, I wouldn't have the opportunity to be with you guys today. So it is also a leadership experience to allow a really hungry, intelligent, but young coordinator that may be in a law firm that's not getting leadership training to be able to take on a role of being your city group chair or your on the Southeastern Region Board and say, I have now some stripes on me of being a good manager, project manager.
Right, you're demonstrating it.
I'm demonstrating it by being a participant in the Legal Marketing Association. Right. So there's tremendous benefits. And we also offer leadership training to many of our members. So
what's the biggest challenge for the association? Is it to get more members?
Yes. The biggest challenge for the association is to be able to help those that are non-marketers, the COOs of the world, the managing partners of the world, to say, when there's a line item on the marketing budget that says training or development for your marketing professionals, that should be a sacred line item.
Oh, so that's a quick one to cut.
Well, there's been tough times in the last couple of years in the legal industry with the downturn. So right. I wouldn't say that's a consistent thing, but it had its challenges.
Right.
And what we want to say is, lawyers are required every year to have what they call CLE training, continuing legal education. It's required. And so there's money on every budget in a law firm to be able to do that. That's the way it should be with the legal marketing professionals. That should be a sacred number to allow your folks to grow their knowledge and network. And so our biggest challenge is to make sure that number is seen as sacred by a COO or by a managing partner. When he sees it, he says, that's going to benefit you, which is going to benefit me.
Exactly.
It's an investment in the firm. That's exactly right. So that's what because there's no shortage of legal marketers that want to participate. That there's a lot of them because we have many non-members that attend Legal Marketing Association functions. And what we want them to be are members, so we can spiral this thing a little bit bigger and a little bit better. So that's our challenge.
And you're saying, though, that you want the firm to invest in these younger people and allow them, pay for their membership, right?
That's
invest
right.
in them so they can be members, so they can bring back this knowledge back to the firm.
That's right. And if it's one person that is the feeder back to a marketing group, that's fine. We hope it's everyone, because as with any association, you're given the magazine, you're given discounts to particular online
resources.
Right,
there's a lot of benefits. A
lot of benefits that come with that.
And if somebody wanted to join, is the website?
Website, Legal Marketing Association. That's exactly right.
Legalmarketing.org. And then they can go find Southeastern, and then from there they can find Atlanta.
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Well, I appreciate it. You guys are marketing yourselves, so I figured you'd get it. So
we get it, and I don't know if you'd be up for it, but maybe come back on a regular rhythm to share what's going on in the association.
Happy to do it. I'm just a representative of thousands of great people right behind me.
Right,
and a
but
lot
maybe
of good
bring
leaders.
Some. Maybe next time somebody else comes in from the board, and then they tell their story.
Outstanding. That would be great. Our board is a great board, and once again, I'm one of nine on that board.
Right.
I'm just the voice today of that great group of
people.
But
it's important to get the word out about this association that exists and why the people in the firm leadership should invest in their people that are in the marketing department.
That's right.
All right, that's legalmarketing.org. Clinton Gary, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.